Welcome to the podcast, guys. Real Heads. We're back at it again with another episode. I'm your host, Ian. No, I'm not. I'm your host, Marquez.
Yeah.
You're Ian.
I am Ian.
We're leaving it in. I'm looking at you and I'm just like, Ian, look at that specimen over there. That's the guy. That's the guy we want.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Yep.
I agree.
You agree? Yeah, of course. You better freaking agree. All right, guys, let's jump into it. So today we're going to be talking about Woman of the Hour, which is a Netflix movie that just came out that is Anna Kendrick's directorial debut.
Number one.
What did you say?
Number one.
Numero uno. We all know Anna Kendrick. She's been in countless numbers of things. You may have seen a small little movie, Pitch Perfect. I know not many people saw it, but we definitely saw Twilight? It. Yeah. She was in Twilight. A little role. You know. Nothing compared to like Pitch Perfect though. Small indie film.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's been in other things too. But yes, this is her directorial debut, and this film it kind of goes over a bit of this interesting phenomenon of this serial killer, Rodney Acala, and his appearance on this TV show, The Dating Game, yes. Which I didn't realize is an actual show.
Yeah.
Like it was a real thing that existed that people actually went on. Celebrities went on. Michael Jackson.
Was he known? I mean, he had to be known.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good.
He was on the show. I think he was like the person doing the picking, you know, which
is that how
sense.
He met Billie Jean?
Maybe, could be, but no. So, I mean, what do you know? How much do you know about this case? And in just the terms of like the legality of it, the actual like real life stuff of this case. Did you know much going in?
Not a ton. No, I knew. I knew about the game show. And then I think I even remember seeing somewhere talking about how there was a person on the show who was like a dangerous person,
mm-hmm.
and a threat to women and whatnot. And so I knew about it. I didn't know whatever came of it or whatever happened or any of the legal or any of the other cases or anything like that. I just knew that this show existed at some point in time and that there was a very dangerous person who was on and a part of the show. So.
Mm. Yeah. I'm kind of with you on that as well. It maybe even less so. Like I didn't know anything about this guy, this case. I didn't know this existed or anything like that. So it was very interesting to learn about. So for anyone who may have not seen the film, and is also a bit in the dark on this. So this guy was Rodney Acala, infamously known as the Dating Game Killer. And he's an American serial killer, a rapist, who committed a series of brutal murders all across the U.S. from about 1971 to 1979. So that's kind of the baseline of where they got the story from, who this guy is and his terrible, terrible deeds. So I want to get into some of the details of the film itself. So we're going to kind of just jump right in. So we'll free liberty of spoilers going in. So if you guys don't want to catch that, then go ahead and watch the film and come back. It's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll just jump right into that. So I want to talk a little bit about the creative liberties that were kind of taken by Anna and the team for the story. So one of the things that I learned was that Bradshaw's character, Anna's character, they gave her a bit more of a backstory in the show than she does in real life. In real life, there really wasn't a lot known about her. There's not a lot, like, at least like publicly, like there wasn't a lot of information. Like, yes, we know she was an actor. Yes, we know that she was on that show. But they gave her just a bit more characterization in the film They let her speak a lot more and have a bit more emotional moments during like the taping than what I think she actually ended up having when she taped that. And then there's also like the whole scene of at the end where he's trying to get at her and she's like trying to get away. That doesn't happen
when he's following her.
Yeah, because he in real life she caught the vibes really early that he was just a bit icky and off. And she never even accepted a date for the guy. So there's that.
Did she pick him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. And then another one would be the, let me see. No, I already said that. Okay. Yeah. So the other one I was just going to say was just that they did dramatize the whole date thing. Like she never went on the date. He didn't go on a date with her in real life, but they did that in the film, which makes sense. You know, I think that in movies like these, you do kind of have to fudge a little bit, blur a little bit of the lines for more of like I struggle to say entertainment because I feel like films like these, I don't think that Anna made this to be necessarily entertaining as so much as like informative and insightful, like letting people know like, hey, this is a thing that happened. And it happened to these women unjustly. And we need to be more aware of when situations like this happen. We need to listen to women. We need to, you know, like I feel like there was a lot of positive reasons why this was made. So I struggle to say that they make these choices necessarily for entertainment purposes. I think maybe the better way to say it would probably be narrative purposes, you know?
Yeah, I think they did a good job with trying to explain that, trying to you know, capture the stress of the whole situation from the one character, the character who's watching the show, who had a friend who
came in contact with the guy,
came in contact and lost her life with the guy.
Yeah.
I thought they did a good job with that. I thought that,
and even that was dramatized.
Yes,
because that character doesn't exist.
Doesn't. Yeah, I figured after you telling me all this, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to shows like this and stuff like this, obviously, like it's kind of crappy that sometimes, like, oh, you think it's like a real life story, and you're like, oh man, I can't believe like true crime stuff, you know, like I can't believe this happened.
Yeah,
which it did probably happen to certain extents, you know, like he was a real, you know, murderer, so like, you know, I'm sure like there's countless, unfortunately, countless people who've been affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
So but there's always sometimes where you're like, oh man, like I thought, like I knew this. I think, like, and this is totally different realm of films, but the Bohemian Rhapsody movie,
mm-hmm.
I like the film, I don't hate the movie,
right?
But they do play a lot with the timelines that stuff happens.
Yeah.
To make it more impactful of a narrative story.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of like loses a little bit of a certain light. I think that, now that's just a singing film. But yeah. I mean, there is important issues in that about, like, you know, the AIDS epidemic. And
what do you feel like? It loses almost like a bit of credibility in a sense? It loses a little bit of
credibility to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think this movie ever said that it's based off of a true story, and which I also appreciate, because it's not like, with my knowing of the situation that there was this guy in real life who murdered people and went on the show.
Yeah.
I already knew what it was.
Right.
I knew it was about that.
Right.
But they didn't necessarily go the extra mile to say this is based off of anything. And maybe they did, but I didn't see any of the
trailers. No, I don't think that they did either. And I think that that was intentional. I think that they really wanted to pull the focus, like the main focus, away from glorifying any of this violence and putting it on the women. And like, hey, this is what it looks like to be a woman in the 70s and having men just like not listen to you and like put you in these shitty situations where you feel like you have to literally scream, scratch, claw, beg just for an ounce of actual attention to like this pressing matter. which is insane.
Yeah.
It's actually insane. I know things aren't that much different now, but still,
yeah,
it's insane.
No, I totally agree with you. It still was like a good film and still brought a lot of topics that need to be discussed.
Yeah.
You know, throughout our ever changing nation. But you know, I think that they did a good job with what they were telling, and they did a good job of bringing that to part. And like, I think when my initial view of this, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, I know that Zac Efron show where he played Ted Bundy, the movie that came out a few years ago.
Yeah.
I remember when that came out, and that got a lot of buzz for people saying, like, oh my gosh, like, it just brings up the memory of people, like, swooning over Ted Bundy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And now they got handsome star Zac Efron to play it. You know, it just kind of brings that back in the spotlight. Of like this fascination with, you know, serial killers to an extent,
right?
And charming ones, because majority of them are charming, you know,
right?
And then that came also with the series they had with what's his name, the guy who plays Quicksilver,
I can't Aaron remember. Peters, Evan Peters,
yeah, Evan Peters, thank you. And his show with Jeffrey Dahmer, which is still. What I got, I didn't see the entire show. It was really creepy. I saw the first episode, and then Jada didn't want to watch it, so I just didn't bother. But what the overwhelming consensus of that was when people started to now talk about like our re-fascination with these kind of like dangerous people who maybe don't deserve that light, you know? In that way, and maybe like their stories, the way that they're telling these stories are not really more so giving people the knowledge of it, but more so putting it on a spotlight where it's almost romanticizing it, like the violence, like you were saying.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're definitely.
I feel like that show doesn't do that.
No, you're definitely you're jumping to my to one of my future topics.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Like it doesn't have to be in any numerical order or anything like that. It's cultural impact is what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
You know, the cultural impact of these true crime stories and the public fascination with figures like Acala, the Mendez brothers, Dahmer, Bundy, you know, and many, many others. And you've already touched on a lot of it. But like, yeah, it's there's like a. There's a fine line that tries to get walked, but I feel like we've kind of blown the door open and to an extent, and there really isn't a fine line anymore. Like I feel like we're really just making these shows, these true crime shows, and it doesn't feel like at the heart of it there's any underlining message outside of this person either did or maybe sometimes even maybe not did like kind of in the case of like the Mendez brothers where it's like, well, we don't know, like how do you feel about what they did. Like I feel like that show kind of put it more so in the hands of the viewer of like, yeah, you can kind of feel how you want to feel about it instead of the filmmakers making it so like what they did was wrong, this is definitively wrong, and we're building either a story around like tearing that villain down and making sure that the audience knows that they are the villain, or we're doing a story like Woman of the Hour, where we're making sure that, yes, you guys know that this guy is a bad guy, but it's not even necessarily about him. It's more so about society and how society treated these victims of this terrible man. Mm-hmm. And that's where I applaud Anna and everyone that worked on this film, where I'm like, you guys understood the assignment. We need to step away from glorifying these serial killers and giving them platforms and anybody who might want to imitate their bullshit platforms. We need to stop becoming so infatuated with true crime as a society when there are real people, real lives that were lost, real lives that are still affected by these individuals today. You know, yeah. It's just, to me, I think it honestly, to me, it speaks a bit to who you are as a creative and as just a person in the world when you want to put something out there that kind of like honestly glorifies this stuff, you know, and maybe to some people that might sound like harsh, like, well, it's, you know, they're not glorifying it. It's like, well, but they're not doing the opposite. They're not making it definitively clear that this is wrong, mm-hmm. and that we should not do any of this. We should move away from this. Even if you put it in the, under the lens of just, well, it's a story, you know, it's no different than like the news. We're just telling you what happened. Okay, well then let the news do that, you know? But right. if you're a filmmaker and you're out here to tell stories and to spread a message, which is what you should be doing as a filmmaker, is making people feel emotions. We don't need to make them feel emotions about something that like happened in real life and not give them somewhere else to go with that, you know?
Yeah.
Like you watch Woman of the Hour and I think you take away from that, all right, if as at least for me as a man, I take away from that, if I see a woman come to me and tell me that they feel uncomfortable or unsafe in an environment with so-and-so, I need to listen. And you know why I need to listen? Because I watched this film that showed me the implications of my actions when I don't listen. You know, that film showed me that. You can't, like, what can you say about the OJ show, the Mendez show, the Dahmer show, and a many other show? Like can you, what can you take away from that as a person going on in society after the fact? Positively, you can't. Nothing. There is nothing, you know. Like, I'm not even gonna try to explain away any of it. Like, you can't, because it's not, because they weren't, the films weren't made that way. The shows weren't made, they weren't made that way. They weren't made to get you as a person to walk away from that and go, yeah, you know what, never again. But this was.
Yeah.
And for that, I applaud it.
Yeah. No, I think Anna did a really, and the writers did such a really great job with this, and rightfully so.
100%.
I'm sorry, you're the guy who leading this. So.
No, go ahead. You want to jump in? Jump. No, I'm ready.
There was something Hit else me. That I had to say. That I don't.
You're just going to take another one of my topics.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I am.
No, I'm kidding, dude. Just go ahead.
What was it? I think it slipped my mind now that I'm thinking about it. But
all right, you want me to jump?
Go ahead and jump. Okay, I can't think of what I was trying to ask.
No, let me know if you catch it. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to talk about was a bit of the fact versus fiction.
Okay.
Points for this film. Not a whole lot of super noteworthy ones, but one of the ones that I wanted to point out was in the film, there was a survivor, Amy, who escapes and leads to a caller's arrest at the end.
Yeah.
So this character is based off of Monique Hoyt, who was a teenage hitchhiker who actually did survive an attack by a caller in 1979. And later her testimony contributed to his conviction. But her escape didn't necessarily lead to his immediate arrest, which is super freaking sad. So she did get to escape, but he did, get to kind of like,
did he make bail or something?
He did eventually make bail. Yeah. So like it wasn't, they didn't catch him immediately after she escaped. Like they caught him sometime later.
Oh, okay.
And I think they had found like a girl's necklace like in a storage locker. And I want to say it was like the storage locker from his time on the show, which is just crazy and eerie and gross. Yeah. If the guy basically got caught, they took him to jail and his mom bailed him out. Can you believe that? Like his freaking mom bailed him out.
I remember what I was going to bring up, but
unfortunately
that there's an American Dad episode. I used to be a really big American Dad and Family Guy fan, you know, when I was growing up. There's an American Dad episode like that where this guy is just a sleazeball. And he gets arrested for being a sleazeball, and then he gets out because his mom is pays for it. And so it's just like, it does bring up the question of like, you know, when is enough? I guess you could say, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
like of course it's your child. Like I get that. Like, but there's times where it's like, man, like that's crazy, you know?
And again, like, I think this also, I want to point out, goes to show like the true direction that the team here had, where like in a typical true crime doc, you probably would have seen that. They probably would have showed you like, yeah. And then the mom came and, you know, bailed him out of jail. And like, you know what I mean? Like they would show all of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, but for what? Like, what are you trying to show us that like people suck? And like, what is it? Like, what is, there's no reason for it. It wouldn't serve the greater narrative that they're trying to tell us with this film. So it's nice that like, yeah, they embellish that a little bit. He gets caught and like, but they do explain afterwards in like the little text that he did go on to commit some more murders, but he did end up getting caught and whatnot. And then we'll get into that a little bit later. But
so my point about that was like, I feel like we have this like obsession to an extent with serial killers because we've always liked complex villains, you know what I mean, in our stories.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's maybe a runoff of that. It was where these shows were made and we're getting that as a society of like, oh, well, like, you know, I really liked, you know, I'm a Dragon Ball Z fan. I watched like Dragon Ball Z and Vegeta used to be a bad guy and now he's not a bad guy and he's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, same thing with Piccolo, mm-hmm. you know, you get these characters who are complex, like written. And everybody likes a comeback story, you know what I mean? So like it makes them kind of like an underdog situation.
That makes me so sad though. And you know why? It makes me sad because of two things. Because if what you want is complex villains, you can do that. Just write it.
Yeah.
Make a story that is not based off of real life. You could even be inspired, as weird as that sounds, by some of these serial killers, if that's really the bag you're trying to get into, and make your own serial killer, make your own villain and write that story. But at least then we're not, you know, bringing the attention to this real life thing that affected real life people and putting it under the guise of it's just entertainment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you can do that, but people don't want to do that. I feel like this is the easier route. To most people's minds, this is the more surefire route. Why don't I just, instead of coming up with my own Thanos, my own Vegeta, my own Zuko, you know?
Yeah.
Like let me just do this guy. He already exists. He's already a villain with the backstory. It's easy. No. Come on. Like you know, and you wonder why we always talk about how there's not that many new horror villains like that have had mainstay like the greats in the pantheon of horror villains, because they aren't writing them. They maybe they are, but those movies aren't getting made. Maybe it's both, but still, like that's where I feel like we need to go. Like we need to step away from this true crime nonsense and this obsession with trying to take real life and making it entertaining just for the sake of entertaining without anything nuanced to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
And anything for the audience to walk away with and you know, in a positive way. And instead do, if you want to make bleak movies like that, make bleak movies, but just do it with your own characters. You know? Flex that creative muscle a little bit. You got it. You can do it.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's just like,
no, you're fine.
Fresh. It's just frustrating. It's so frustrating because we eat it up too. Like as a society, every time a new one comes out, you know, and I just want that trend to go away. Like so badly. I want that trend to go away. You know, I mean, we talk about this on the pod all the time. Like I am a huge advocate for new stories, new IPs, new stories. Just I'm so sick and tired of seeing everything be rehashed and retold. Like I want to see something new, you know, and I know we've got it. We got creatives out there that are busting their butts at these indie studios making true art. You know, but those movies aren't getting pushed to the mainstream. And but that's why we're here. You know, that's why we're here to talk about those and to bring some of those movies to light. And we will continue to do so. But jumping back into it, another fact versus fiction I had here was that so his actual capture did come after he abducted and murdered a 12-year-old girl. Her name was Robin Samso. This happened in California. Her remains were found days later. And it was actually a college parole officer that identified him from a police sketch. And it was her earrings that were found in his storage locker. Mm. So that was the actual nail in the coffin for him. Yeah, so super, super sad stuff. But yeah, in the grand scheme of narrative storytelling for the film, I think it made sense how they told it, how they did.
Yeah.
You know, instead of like, oh, and then let me show you now how he's getting this girl too. Cause like, yeah, I guess people could, you know, might be itching for that scene to see, you know, and even in the film, you can point out too that they didn't really show a lot of gruesomeness or like extreme brutality. You know, they would cut away and like let you just hear.
Yes.
And imagine that horror.
Yeah.
And I think that for a film like this, that's all you needed. You know, like, could you show it? Sure. I'm fine. You know, especially because that it's not the main point of this film. They could have if they wanted to, but I appreciate that they didn't. I think it made sense. And I think it landed how they wanted it to land, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I want to also highlight the bravery of some of the women that were in the crosshairs of this guy, like Monique Hoyt and Cheryl Bradshaw. Even though Cheryl didn't really have a ton to do with the situation, you know, like she still was able to escape this man because she was definitely next on the chopping block at that time, being on the show, and Monique being able to like actually like be a victim of him and still survive and get out of there is incredible. Actually so incredible. So just wanted to also shout out, you know, the bravery of those women. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So then I also want to talk about kind of just like the case and like how, you know, his whole case and like the weird like legal stuff and like the weird societal issues that were going around that were happening around this time in regards to him and what he was doing, and just kind of like why that was and like what like how you felt about it. Like I want to know like kind of your thoughts about like, because the story kind of shows you that like there this guy kind of had already been, he'd already been arrested once out on bail, and he's out and about on national television at that doing whatever. And still people are just like turning a blind eye. Police aren't really a big help in the movie. Like, so I just wanted to get your thoughts on how you felt about seeing how things were dealt.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's like not surprising how they tried to tell the film, you know, and unfortunately it also is pretty similar to real life. In the case, it's just like, it's just very, they're not like quick to it, you know, not saying that, you know, people deserve a free trial. You know, they deserve to, you know, everybody deserves to stay in trial, you know. But it just is like, there were so many outliers. There's so many reports and stuff.
Yeah.
That it's almost like, okay, well, like we need to start paying attention to this person.
Yeah, like you didn't background check this man?
Yeah, especially for the show. It's like, yeah.
On national television, you didn't background check this guy?
Yeah, and it's sad, so sad because he is, like I said, he's a charming person.
Yeah.
Has a charming personality. Says the right stuff, but maybe necessarily doesn't really believe in it. Like he just says it to make sure he gets his victim, you know?
Yeah.
But he, you know, is just, it's not surprising to see just people not wanting to jump the gun and assume the worst. And it is sad. And not saying that, like,
people really were so trusting.
Yeah.
Of like white men, like back in that time.
Yeah. You know? Especially in the old, trusting of anybody, you know, in the old days, you know, I mean, hitchhiking was like super big back then, you know what I mean? Like, it just is, it was a different time where people just trusted the goodness or like had a general respect that, oh, this person is not necessarily going to hurt me, but I don't know anything about them, you know? And, you know, now that we know that all these crazy stuff has happened and all these serial killers and murderers are out there, now it's a little more like, oh, well, now I don't want to trust anybody to an extent. Not necessarily in that way, but, you know, they're everybody's more cautious.
Right.
You
know? I also want to point out, too, that Rodney is a Mexican-American. He is not a white man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't want to get that confused with what I was saying earlier. He is a white man. But still, like, you know, he got to kind of lean on, like, his charisma and his good looks to get himself ahead. But, like, what I was saying still stands. Like, you know, if you were a good looking white man in that day and age, like, you could get away with a lot.
Wait, you seen American Psycho?
No.
Never seen American Psycho? Really? Interesting.
Wait, no, yes.
With Christian Bale?
Yes. Sorry. Okay. Yes, I have.
All right.
I don't know why I was thinking of Psycho when you said that.
Wait, you never seen Psycho?
No, never seen Psycho.
Oh my gosh. Okay. sorry, my brain was just running to say, what is the matter with you?
But, no, you're good.
Even with Psycho, I mean, like, these people are successful, you know. Not, I mean, in Psycho's sense, he's not like down on his luck, you know what I mean? Like, he owns his own business, you know.
Right.
But in American Psycho, he's a very successful, like, normal looking person, you know.
Right.
And, like, you want to assume, like, nothing bad. And still today, people want to assume nothing's going to bad happen. But, you know, if red flags start to be red flagging, I feel like maybe you should start to maybe potential look into the red flags with a little more caution.
100%. Yeah, definitely 100%. His case just definitely underscores the failures in the justice system, in the society. At the time, society, even now, shoot, don't get me started. We like parole oversights, no background checks. It's wild. All that stuff could have been prevented. And it seems like we still don't learn, unfortunately. So that's where I feel like us as men need to take it upon ourselves to protect the women in our lives, the women in society, women all around. You know, you see something wrong, you see something off. Doesn't matter if you know that person or not, check in, you know, don't check out. I think that's important. Yeah.
I think that, you know, not trying to sound like we're the man and we're gigantic, you know, like we're the big beefy men.
Well, you don't even have to be. That's the thing though. Cause like a lot of these serial killer guys, like they're trying to do what they're trying to do discreetly.
Yeah.
They don't want to be caught. So all it really takes is just a presence, just having the presence of someone else in that space to catch them off guard. And so that they're like, oh yeah, let me actually back off. You know, like as you saw in the film, when she met up with Akala in the parking lot and he was creeping up, you know, all it took was those men who didn't even see them out there that came outside of their little door of the garage. They didn't even see them, but he knew, like, I mean, if things do get cracking, there is a huge possibility that I'm getting caught. And he knows that. He doesn't want to get caught. So, yeah, you don't have to be the biggest man, the strongest man. You know, it's all about just making sure that that person knows that, hey, like if you try something, like there is, you know, the outcome of it going good for you is not a surefire bet. And they're not going to want to take that chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another interesting point about the film and also like just the real life case was because it kind of took a while for him to get his sentencing after he was actually caught, the technology of DNA testing actually caught up and got to the point to where they were able to do DNA testing and link him to a bunch of unsolved cases, including some murders that happened in New York even. So it's just like, I love that for getting your comeuppance. You know what I mean? Like that is a rare judicial system W, you know, where like waiting so long for sentencing to happen, which is just historically what always freaking happens, that technology catches up. And yeah, now we don't even have to really deliberate much. Like, we got you, bro. We got you. You're done. So he was also sentenced to death multiple times, but he actually died of natural causes in jail in 2021. So,
oh wow, that's pretty recent. I didn't know it was so soon.
Yeah. He lived to be 77. Should have been way less, in my opinion, but here we are. So, you know, getting towards the end here, I want to know, like, so what's your, how do you feel about Anna Kendrick's direction and the performance of the cast on the film
as well? Oh, yeah. It was really good. I really liked this film a lot. It was the acting was really great. And Anna's acting was also great. And I'm sure directing and acting is always, you know, a challenge.
Gotta be difficult.
So,
yeah.
But I thought that her confidence was on the screen.
Yeah,
and all the time.
I agree. That's a great way to put it. It felt like for a directorial debut that she was confident. Like she had a vision, she had a goal, and I feel like she executed it very well.
Yeah,
honestly, very well. And there was never a moment where I kind of questioned anything or thought, oh, maybe I might do something different here or go a different way. Like, I completely enjoyed, you know, everything that she put out on that screen. I think she did phenomenal. I think the actors did great. The man who played Akal, I think he did a really good job. All the women who got to play the victims in this, I think did a really good job. Even the sleazy dude, contestant number two,
I liked him too.
He did a good job, because I caught myself being like, dude, shut the heck up, man. Like, you're just saying some goofy stuff, you know. But I liked how he did try to warn her, you know, when he gave her like the hug at the end. But yeah, Anna did a great job. So I guess I would kind of want to wrap up a bit here and kind of get some final thoughts about how do you feel Ian, filmmakers should balance telling stories of victims without glorifying the killers? Mm-hmm.
I think it does come down to how we view the victim's story and how it's being told, as this person did suffer from this and in a lot of cases lose their life from this. And I feel like that sometimes gets overlooked, you know, and especially kind of like in horror films. You know, I know this is not like a true crime, you know, talking about more so true crime than a horror. But, you know, in horror films, like, that's the, you know, the feel of it is like, oh, this is the final girl. Obviously, these people are going to die, but hopefully she makes it out. You know what I mean? Like, that's like the overall look of how a horror film usually goes. And sometimes not.
Yeah.
But you still get to see, like, their anguish, but sometimes it's like played off as like over the top violence. And I think that sometimes with these true crimes, we can become over the top violence. And like, there's, in a lot of those cases, it is over the top violence sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I like in this movie, they cut away from it and they just let you listen to it. And I think that says a lot of how, like, this, if you didn't look at it, like, it's disturbing
right
to an extent,
right?
Not to an extent, it is disturbing. I'm sorry,
right?
And I think that's just ultimately where we should probably be moving towards, telling these stories, being respectful of like, this disturbing act of crime happened to this person,
right?
And this is not something to make fun of, or not necessarily make fun of, but this is not something to like take lightly.
Yeah, it's, and I don't even want to say stuff. Like, I'm not even like wanting to, because I'm agreeing with a lot of what you're saying, but I also don't want to, I'm not trying to say like, I feel like we need to like censor the violence and censor the gore and stuff like that. To me, it just becomes about how we package that.
Yeah.
What is the end goal?
Trying to get to.
Yeah. No, that's, I feel like we're on the same page there. It's like, what is the point? What are we getting to? Cause I think about the true crime, videos and stuff like that, and documentaries and like the movies and the TV shows that don't do it this way. And I think you think about narratively how those stories usually go. You kind of have three options of how you can have climactic events. Your kills, the courtroom scenes, like slash sentencing, and the either final arrest or final like death of the guy, if they die before they get basically taken in. Those are your three things. So you have to basically, like, and if you don't have your story built around anything else but those things, you know, like it, like then you are going to inherently kind of glorify it a bit, because you're going to have to ham it up. You know, those are your climax moments, mm-hmm. you know? So we're either super invested in like the legality of what these people did and how they either got off or got away with it or get sentenced, which is like, you know, a problem in and of itself. If we're not focusing on why the system is the way that it is to kind of allow these people to get away with what's going on. If we're not, you know, telling the story through that light, then you kind of failed. And then if you're going the route of all your climactic moments being the kills, then, you know, like, it's not a horror movie. So it's like, that's obviously bad. We're sitting here like, okay, well, what's the point of this? Yeah, we know they got those people. They killed those people. That's sad. That sucks. But like, now it's being played just for entertainment. There's nothing to take away from that. And then if you have like the death and like the ending part, you know, it's still the same thing. It's like, you're going to have to amplify this to a degree to make it entertaining. And now it's just like, there's nothing really to take away from any of that. Like, you don't, you know, that's why you walk away from a show like Dahmer and you don't necessarily feel good. You know, like, you don't feel good about anything. You feel gross because you're just like, I mean, he was a sick man and did some sick shit. And the film, like the show just lets you sit with that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That bothers me. I hate it because it's just like, why? Like, why do I need to be subjected to this? I already know, you know, it's not informing me of anything else new or insightful or impactful. It's just, yeah. And he's bad. Thank you. I agree.
We already knew that, right?
So I feel like, you know, just keep continuing to piggyback off of your thoughts, man. I just feel like we need to, as filmmakers, we need to make sure that we aren't glorifying killers. That if we have something to say, by all means, say it, and write that film and get that film made, and share that art with the world, because these kinds of stories can be artful and they can also be impactful. But if they are neither of those things, don't make it, please. You know, please, like, just, it's a waste in my opinion. Like, you'd be much better served doing something else. So that's how I feel about that. I jumped in on your explanation. No, so if you want, had anything else to add, please. I don't want to trample all over you.
No. What you said is totally fine. And I agree with if it's a fake fiction movie that is nothing, like,
then do what you want.
Do what you want.
Yeah. But the Saw movies are the most glorifying of a serial killer movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But it's fake.
Yeah.
It's you know?
Yeah.
Like, Tobin Bell, amazing actor, plays a terrible man. He's terrible. And we all love it. It's fine. You know, like, cause that you go into that movie and you know what it's about. You're watching this sick man twist his idea of what redemption means, by torturing people and trying to get them to ascend to this greater level of, you know, thinking of life and their life choices. And I mean, it's sick stuff, but that's just for entertainment. They don't want you to walk away from Saw feeling good about yourself and your life choices. No. You know, like it's not what it's for. But why does Saw feel more connected to Dahmer than Dahmer feels to Woman of the Hour? You know yeah. what I mean? Yeah. And that's where I feel like we've kind of failed in how we look at these kinds of films, how we consume them and talk about them. I think we failed. And that's why it's so important that you and I sit here and we have these conversations and we shed light on this stuff. And I hope that people listening, I hope that you guys take away something good from this conversation. And hopefully you guys, you know, have some of your own opinions as well. And if you don't agree, you don't agree. But if you do, then, you know, that's cool too. So I think with that, I think we'll jump into our review. A final thought review. What do you think, Ian?
Yeah, I really like this film a lot. I thought Anna Kendrick did a good job. I'm going to leave off with this film being 3.5 Anna Kendrick's first director debuts out of 5.
Okay, I like that. I'm gonna go ahead and rate this one. Let's say I'm gonna go ahead and rate this one 8 seasons of the dating show. Is that what it's called? The dating game.
The dating game. Yeah.
out of 10.
Okay.
Solid first film.
Yeah, it's a good landing.
Yeah, it's a great landing. Please make more. Please make more.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where she goes.
I am too. 100%. So yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, check it out. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's a really good watch, easy watch, short movie. It's only like 1 hour and 30 minutes. So
yeah, not too
bad. Yeah, or you're in and out super quick. But yeah. That's gonna be it for the show today, guys. Catch us on YouTube, Real Heads. Catch us on Instagram, Real Heads. Everywhere you listen to podcasts. If you guys aren't on YouTube, please check us out on YouTube. We're trying to build the following over there. We're trying to, you know, get you guys to come see our shiny, bright, and beautiful faces. You know, there was a point in time where we didn't have a YouTube.
Yeah, there was.
You know, there was a point in time where our videos didn't really look like the nicest, and our sound quality was bad.
Pretty bad.
There was a point in time where it was literally just me and Ian sitting at my kitchen table with a Blue Yeti mic that we didn't use for ASMR because we didn't know that was a thing. And we had one mic and we had the gain up way too high and you could hear everything in that room. You could hear everything.
Oh my gosh.
It was you could hear my dog fart in the other room. That's how high that gain was. And we did some weird stuff on that podcast and we had a lot of iterations of the podcast, but this is where we've landed here at Real Heads in my now office room that I worked hard to set up and make look as good as I can with the amount of money that I have in my bank account. So please, I'm like the Bernie Sanders meme where he's like sitting there telling them
to
vote or whatever. I'm like, please, please watch us on YouTube so I can feel good about my life choices. Okay. Until next time, guys. Until next week. See you later.
See you later. Bye.